In theory, ankle monitors are supposed to allow a criminal offender to live life outside of prison walls. But people who have lived with ankle monitors on say the devices come with their own problems.
On the inside of the device, which presses against my ankle and my skin, it kind of looks like a drain. And what it does, it vibrates every 30 minutes. And when it vibrates, it's suctioning air. So it's testing my sweat and the atmosphere around me for any alcohol content.
Valeria Vargas is a teacher in Chicago who wore an ankle monitoring device for 3 months after being charged with driving under the influence. She had to pay more than $100 a week for her device. And we'll hear from her in a minute. Valeria is one of more than 125,000 accused and convicted criminal offenders who have been tracked by monitoring devices every single day in the United States. And that number has more than doubled over the last decade.
I think we don't think about it nearly enough when we have our smartphones that also track where we are. But imagine if that smartphone is linked to a law enforcement agency such as probation or parole or pretrial services, and any wrong move or what they consider to be a wrong move, being in a place where they say you can't be or doing something that you can't do, results in perhaps going right back to jail or prison. That's the issue with what we've created with this sort of rise of ankle bracelets and monitoring that now is just part and parcel of how we do criminal justice in this country.
That's Insha Rahman, a program director with the Vera Institute of Justice, and she's concerned about the growing use of these devices. I asked Insha to take me through this technology and what it means for those who are ordered to use it.
Monitoring is used not only to locate where a person is at all times, but also things such as whether they are drinking alcohol. You know, there are bracelets called SCRAM bracelets that literally alert the agency that's monitoring the person if there appears to be any sort of alcohol in their system.
Let's talk a little bit about the rise in this type of technology. I mean, we know technology is influencing policing. Talk specifically about, you know, how we've seen an increase in law enforcement sort of relying on this type of technology.
People often cite the 2.2 million Americans who are in our jails and prisons, but a far bigger number, in fact, twice as big, is the 4.5 million Americans who are under community supervision. And many, hundreds of thousands of those Americans are under what's called community supervision. That is actually essentially what are open-air jails. They are monitored either by GPS technology or sort of traditional ankle bracelets, and their movements are tracked. But one thing I want to touch upon that I think is really important as we talk about ankle bracelets and monitoring is not just simply the fact of its proliferation and how often it is used, but that when it is used, this is technology, and we know this. Technology can fail us and does. And one thing that we have seen more and more with ankle bracelets and monitoring is that sometimes there are false alarms. Somebody is where they're supposed to be. They are at work or at their home, yet the device pings the agency that's monitoring them and suggests that they are somewhere else. That triggers a warning, a violation, and it can cause all sorts of problems for that person, from a check-in with the probation officer or pretrial services officer to perhaps even being put back in jail or prison.
Now, who exactly are using these ankle bracelets? Is it for people who are waiting trial? Is it people who are on parole? Is it people who, when does this come into play for someone?
At each of those points in the criminal justice system, there are tens of thousands, at least, people who have not been convicted of any crime, who are pretrial, meaning they are out in the community pending their case and going back to court, who are on ankle monitoring and ankle bracelets. There are people who are on parole who are on ankle monitoring, ankle bracelets, and people on probation as well. So it really spans the gamut. It's not just used in the criminal justice system, but also in systems like our immigration system. There's been a growing use, especially of private companies who administer and operate these ankle monitors in partnership with the federal government, for people, for immigrants who are fighting their deportation cases or their immigration cases and are, again, out in the community while their case is going on.
We are speaking to someone, a woman who has had to pay about $107 a week for her own electronic monitoring device. That's stunning to me. Is that normal? Is it common for people to have to pay for their own monitoring device?
that doesn't actually surprise me at all, sadly. Yes, it's common and increasingly becoming more common. There are some states and some localities that bear the cost of putting an ankle monitor on somebody, and those costs range from anywhere from $5 to up to $20 a day. But there are many, many states and localities that actually impose that cost on the person being monitored. And that's if they are pre-trial or on probation or on parole. And so imagine this is if you can't afford that $5 or $20 a day to pay for your ankle monitor, what's the alternative? You're put back in jail.
Well, I'm sure there are also people who would say, you know what, if you have the alternative could be, like you said, being in jail or being in prison. So this isn't that bad of an approach.
I think the only people who would say that this isn't that bad are people who have never worn an ankle monitor or been monitored. And here's why, is because it is not insignificant to have your movements and what you are doing tracked at any given moment. Importantly, it's also there are other problems with the technology, such as having to plug in to recharge your monitor every couple of hours. Additionally, the sort of false positives, the false alarms, are also no small thing that can cause a huge, huge inconvenience again and again for people on these bracelets. People think, well, at least monitoring and ankle bracelets will keep people who are not in jail or prison sort of on the right side of the law. That actually isn't true. There is very little additional public safety gains from having somebody on electronic monitoring or an ankle bracelet than there is than just straight up doing pretrial services or probation that looks much more traditional, like there's an officer who checks in, there are services provided. I think it's one of the misconceptions that we have about electronic monitoring is that it enhances public safety. And the truth is, what we know is we can get as much public safety by having people be released on pretrial services or on probation or on parole without additional monitoring. It doesn't actually get us anything more, while it does, in fact, have a huge impact on that individual person's lives, as well as on costs as well.
Insha Rahman is a program director with the Vera Institute of Justice. Insha, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And now we turn back to the story of one woman with firsthand experience wearing the device as a punishment for a crime. Valeria Vargas is a poet and an educator based in Chicago who just got her ankle monitor removed over the weekend. She calls the monitor a scram device, referring to the company that manufactures them.
I got a DUI last year, so I successfully mitigated the charges down to reckless driving, but as a condition of the charges being mitigated down, as well as my supervision for 18 months, I had to wear the scram device for 90 days. That was a request of the district attorney.
And was this your first offense?
It was.
Now, we understand that you had to pay for this device. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So the way that was explained to me was I was given kind of like a quote-unquote discount since I made under $60,000 a year. Over $60,000, you pay the full price, and I don't remember what that was, but based on my income level, the first day I got it on, I was required to pay $450. That was $350 for the setup and $100 for technically the last week that I would have had the device. Depending on how the device transmitted the data, they added more charges, I should say. So you had three options. You had a device in your home, like a little monitor, that sent the data over to Scram Systems. So it was either by phone line, by Ethernet cord, or if you didn't have access to either of those things, you had to check in with a field officer daily.
So, Valeria, I'm curious about something. You do admit that you did do the infraction, right? You were driving under the influence, right? So, in lieu of going to jail or having this ankle monitor placed on you, what is there something else, another penalty that you would have preferred?
Absolutely. So another condition of these infractions was that I attend drug and alcohol counseling. And I feel like that has been more helpful than that monitor. If I had access to why, you know, like a therapist or some sort of psychiatrist that would help me identify why I did what I did, not necessarily shame me for doing so or pay out money to a company for doing so, that would have worked a lot better. And I'm more so thinking about, like, I'm very privileged, right? I'm very lucky to be middle class. I'm very lucky to have a decent paying job. I'm educated. You know, all of those things offer me privilege. So the cost of this bracelet wasn't necessarily as harmful as it would be to someone with a family, right? Or someone who's low income. And I'm thinking about them. If you miss a payment, if you don't have access to transmit this data, that's it for you. It's over. Like, you have to go to jail, you have to report to court, and the process starts all over again. So I'm not necessarily thinking about myself when I think about the inequities that come with this bracelet.
Did the device have any effect in helping you, whether that means not drinking, lessening your drinking, or anything having to do with that? Was it effective at all?
I mean, I was sober for 90 days. I completed the program. I didn't drink for that time.
And longer term, do you think the device will have had an effect?
I mean, I drank as soon as I got it off, so No.
We did reach out to Scram Systems, the company that manufactures the ankle bracelet that you were wearing, and they told us that the monitors are supplied through local providers and correction agencies, and it's those folks who determine how much money someone should pay. Does that matter to you? Who makes the decision in terms of who pays what?
It does, yes. It's always, for me, an equity issue. And more importantly, where is that money going? Who is it going to? What programs is it funding? Whose pockets is it entering? All that is essential information.
Valeria Vargas is a poet and educator in Chicago. Valeria, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.